trying to think about what to prepare. I didn't want to just do a the things that I could do at a chinuch vod, since we have one every week, except when the winter weeks we don't do it. So I want to do something a little atypical for me. I was trying to think what to speak about, and I was going through some of my notes, and I found today in my notes Tes Shvat, Tavshin Samach Vav. What year is that?
2006.
So there was a we did a an asifa here before, like the first city to do an asifa on internet danger. It's like internet was relatively new, and Rav Matisyahu Solomon Zatzal flew in, and I think he and I were the two speakers. We did it at a hotel, big hotel in Miami Beach, and invited all the parents to come. It was unprecedented. And the Manalim are the ones who organize it. Myself, Rabbi Schmelzer, and Rabbi Bauman, and Schmelzer was the Manal of Machina at the time, and there were a couple others that were there. And we said, what are we doing? And we decided Rabbi Matisyahu was the Mashkiach of the Olam HaTorah. So one person called Rabbi Matisyahu, and then I don't know, Rabbi Schlosser didn't want to be the one to speak, and I got voted to speak. I remember being petrified to be standing in the same room as Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon. And but anyway, I found my notes on it. I took notes, and it was just mind-boggling. You know, I wrote it over in like fresher ink today, and I figured it's also it's the end of Shovavim, right? Shmos va'era bo b'shalach Yisro mishpatim. So
Shovavim tat.
Oh really?
Yeah.
When did they get that?
Every year they ask.
Oh really? Oh wow. Okay, Baruch Shem.
That works out.
So, I thought I would say over a few of the things from that asifa, and I probably have said over some of those things over the years, but kedai in this context to put it all together in one sitting. So the Gemara in Yevamos says. I found the daf, but maybe some of you got up to it already. It says that Klal Yisrael have three midos, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomli Chasadim. We're compassionate people, we are modest people, and performers of kindness. Those three. So the Briska Rav was on a boat and going to Eretz Yisrael. And it was very schwer with the food. You know, he could be on the boat for a couple of weeks, and he had his children and others venting for him, trying to get certain foods, vegetables, and can they cook the vegetable? The guy in the kitchen said he'll cook the vegetable, and the son was, he was giving him things, but he said, "You want me to cook the vegetables?" So the son was hemming and hawing. And finally, the cook said, now he wasn't the cook, he was doing KP, he was kitchen patrol, you know. And he finally said, "Oh, you're nervous about Bishul Akum? Ich bin a Yid. I'm a Yid." But he had to be careful, he didn't want to tell anyone. So the Briska Rav, when they told him, the Briska Rav said, I already knew he was a Yid, because he was giving us the fruits and vegetables. So he said, when the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael Baishanim Rachmanim Baishanim Gomlim Chasadim, it's exclusive. If you find someone with these three midos, it's only Klal Yisrael has these three midos. Other dialects, other nationalities don't have these three Midas.
In a general sense, we're saying.
I didn't specify, but he said that he knew was a Yid. I have this other Maisa, I'm sure I've told, when I became a Chassan, so I davened by my father-in-law Shul in Flatbush, Reb Weinfeld, who's still a Rechash of Rav there, Evan Yuel on East 22nd, and so I davened there. It was the first time I was davening there, Shver Shul, Friday night, so there's a big, long line to say good Shabbos to the Rav. As is the minug, and my father-in-law was in front of me, and he introduced me. And the father-in-law started walking. He asked me for my name. So I said Mordechai Palgan. Said you related to a. He said his first name, which I won't repeat, out of respect. Palgan. So I said, yeah, that's my brother. He used his maiden name. So. I said, yeah. He says, wait here. I said, oh my gosh, there's like 200 people saying a Shabbos to him. So my father-in-law asked me, what's going on? So I said, I got in trouble with the rabbi. He asked me to wait. He said, ready? So after everyone finished, he said, you know, about 4 years ago, I was coming out of my, during the winter, I was coming out of an apartment building in Borough Park on 55th Street between 14th and 15th. And it was snowy weather, and very snowy, and ice all around, a little snow everywhere. And I come to my car, and there's a note on my windshield, which said that I was driving down the street, and I skidded, and I slammed into your car. Please call me so I can pay you for whatever damages. Signed, the maiden name, Falgon. So that's your brother? I said, yes, my brother. He says, I should have realized. For all the years, I said, did he pay you? He says, no, I never called him. I said, why? He says, I know Yidden who wouldn't put that note in. I'm not going to let some shagets. He figured, you know, with the maiden name and the last name, I'm not going to let some shagets get that schuss of doing that. I never called him. I said, well, now they know he's a Yid. You can call him and make him pay. So he said the same vart. He told me then, you know, Klai Yisrael is Rachmanim by Shalom Gomel Chassadim. He was so happy to hear the story. It took him 4 years to find out that the person who left the note was a Yid. And Lemaisa, in the kinnis on Tisha B'Av, it's brought down that the Churban, there was such a siege and hunger and torture that it you know, women were eating their own children and the things that the Yidden were doing, it stripped them of their etzem character. So, you know, I think that's very inspiring with Mr. Agmi. Like, here's a balabas who you think that the asifas and all of the, you know, the it's like old hat already. Like, what can anyone say anymore? Like, even the secular people are tired of talking about the dangers of screen time and can't anything. Here, this guy, he went around, mamish the country. He's going around the country. I know scores and scores of kids, parents, fathers, and mothers giving up their smartphones. I know. And I was in L.A. And I know many of the women gave up their smartphones. You think for women, like, hey, everyone has, like, hey, you know, my wife has this smartphone. It's not me. It's my wife's, you know. Everyone has, they're all giving it up from this tiny Yid who's going around. So I think it's not just about smartphone, just to give chizik to the whole inyan of living b'kedusha. When you think about all of the, we have a lot of Talmidim now who became very, very prominent therapists in the world. And I spoke to one of our, you know, our former Talmidim, who's became a therapist. He said, what do you do? So he goes, I work with addictions. Okay, and like addictions, okay, it sounds, addicted to what? Mostly pornography? There's not much, it's mostly addicted to pornography. That's considered, like, and there's not only Jewish people, but they're addicted, they can't stop. mostly pornography. Unfortunately, and we know from our own that people fall in, they can't get out. It's like a dark hole. It's a dark hole, they can't get out. So it's so hard. It's, you know, he works with them and gambling. You know, and every gambling, I just read that on the they put gambling onto the advertisements for the Super Bowl. They said this year, I heard that there was an uptick of, because that said the law changed, and you couldn't do it online. I didn't get it exactly, but there was an upgrade of like 30% gambling. Every gambling advertisement says with it, if you need help with gambling, I want you to gamble, bet on this, just call this number and you can gamble. And then right after that, if you need help with gambling, call 1-800-THERAPY. It wasn't like that. So it's a double-edged sword. They know it. It's just to understand, this is, you know, it could strip Klal Yisrael of a basic midah that we have. So that's why it's so paramount for us to give attention to it. We don't realize how lucky we are to be in yeshiva. You know, if anyone has a fighting chance to be able to combat all of these issues, it's someone who's in yeshiva. In yeshiva, not even talking about opening a gemara one time. Keep the gemara closed for a second. The gemara is closed. The guy is in yeshiva. Goes to a yeshiva, a high school, a beis medrash, for 3 years. He's in a totally different world. That's before he even learns. Just to be around. Of course, he has to. You know, it can't be if he has a open internet, then he's not in yeshiva. He's somewhere else. So I would say the first thing a person should do, this is why it's very powerful today, the first thing a person should do is to disconnect. If he could do it, he should disconnect, because Noah Horlovich said, it says, oh, but my neshama is so ruined. How do I fix my neshama? That's a sutton. It says, Elokai neshama shenasat to be tahorahi. The neshama that you gave me is pure. It does not need to be fixed. It's a maisa sutton that they tells you that you have to fix my neshama, and then I could be like a good ben Torah. It's not true. Simply like oil and vinegar. As soon as you put it down, the oil goes to the top. Neshama goes right to the top. So the person stops, it's automatically at the top. That's what the neshama is. So a guy, my shir, says, like, oh, Rabbi, I made so many mistakes learning. I need to go to yeshiva that's going to fix, that's going to give me all the things that I didn't do, all the things I didn't learn. He thinks that there's some yeshiva that, oh, yeah, if you're messed up to this degree, go to this yeshiva that will teach you all the things that you didn't learn. He probably still doesn't know what hecha means and hasa means, and he wants yeshiva that's going to fix all his, you know, all his gaps. It doesn't work that way. I told him to start learning. It's a sutton telling you that you're messed up. You're not messed up. There are people who are much more messed up than you. They're doing fantastic in yeshiva. Okay, so I want to say over from Matsio Salman. He said over these two mices that are just not mind-boggling. He said in Russia there was a Baal Tshuva who did not know he was a Jew. How did we know this story? I don't know. It sounds like he knew the person firsthand. So he was a Baal Tshuva in Russia, and he didn't know he was Jewish. Until he was 18 years old, he went to university. He got to the university, and nobody would speak to him. No one would say a word. So he couldn't figure it out. After 3 months, he was going crazy. Nobody would talk to him. So he pulled one guy, aside and said, how come no one talks to me? So the guy was going away. He pulled him back. I demand you tell me. So he said, we don't talk to Jews. So he let the guy go. He said, I don't get it. I'm not Jewish. And the guy walked away. I don't talk to Jews. So he went home that day, and he started went to his mother and his father and said, the guy says, I'm Jewish. Am I Jewish? So the mother looks down and said, my mother was a religious Jew, but because of the oppression here, we wanted to keep you from having to deal with that, so we didn't tell our children that they were Jewish, and therefore, yeah, but you're Jewish. My mother's Jewish, and you're Jewish. He couldn't believe it. I didn't know I was Jewish. So he goes the next day, He goes back to that guy. He says, I'm not talking to you. He's like, I said, you don't have to talk to me. Just tell me one thing. How did you know I was Jewish? So he told him that there's a rule in the college. If you don't swear, which means curse, if you don't swear and you don't drink, you're Jewish. That was the rule. You don't swear and you don't drink. It's the wrong month to tell the story, but you don't swear, you don't drink, you're Jewish. So Rav Matzio, when he met the guy, says, so let me ask you a question. Did Yutaka not drink? He says, interesting. I grew up, there were very few rules. And in my house, we weren't allowed to drink, ever. Couldn't drink. So there's an expression you don't hear anymore, shikar is a guy, but it's an old expression. A kid doesn't drink. I wasn't going into the hot alcohol thing. I'm just saying that just the constitution of a yid was so pristine and so pure that the goyim recognized that the midah. Unfortunately, with there's so much exposure, a lot of things get worn away. You have to have this one. So in Haifa, there's a chaver of Matasyo, Zatzal, told him this story. He met this Baal Tshuva in Haifa, who has very refined children. So he went to the guy and he says, what's your story? It's so refined and so special. So he says, I grew up on a kibbutz. When I was 16 years old, I had already consumed every possible taiva, and I was like burning with taiva, and he read that there's this store that you get even more taiva. So he was going looking for the store. So he went and he found this store. He was about to go in, and then he saw this from Yid, Haredi Yid, walking down the street, and he looked up and he saw the store, and he quickly turned his head down and he started going in the other direction. So he just stood there and watched. He said, what would make someone, like he didn't understand such a thing, what would make someone turn his head away and go? He maybe has something better. So, which was true. So he followed the guy, and the guy ended up at a yeshiva, and he ended up learning for many years. He became a Baal Tshuva simply just from that scene of, that this from Yid, just turned away from it. So I had a barber, Ralph, in the old Publix on, it's now on 10th Avenue, on 8th Avenue. Next door there was a barber shop, and Ralph was Spanish, and he used to give haircuts. Nothing personal for the barbers here. And he told me that, he's retiring. I said, oh, you're retiring. So you're moving? Yeah, I'm moving out of North Miami Beach. I took my life savings and I bought a condo on Collins Avenue. I said, where? It's a building. Yeah, which building? I know a couple of buildings. He said, the Mimosa. Mimosa? Mimosa, all the Hungarian Jews are there. Like, Mimosa? I said, Ralph, isn't that Jewish, that building? He says, yeah. My wife and I said that we're only going to go to a Jewish building. Because I see from all the years, the Jewish customers were the finest, most refined people. That's where there were others, no crime, no anything. So Ralph the barber. I'm just trying to bring out this idea of Rachmanim Baishanim, Tomei Chasadim. That was Rav Matasyahu's vart, that exposure to the wrong things wears away at the midas of Klal Yisrael. So we have to know the innate internal midas. That's all these things are working on that. He said, I don't know if this was true then, but I had in my notes that Sprite had a motto advertising marketing motto, it says, obey your thirst. Is it still on? Do they still have that?
No.
That was a motto, that's right. Obey your thirst. But just to hear what that is, that there's a whole, initiative that if you don't give in to what you crave, there's something wrong with you. It's a marketing, it's brilliance. I'm from the marketing people. If you want something and you don't get it, then you're lacking. There's something wrong. We don't hold that. We hold as mamash just the opposite. Don't obey your thirst. You know the maisa with this guy, he wakes up, this is probably a joke, but guy wakes up in the middle of the night and he's thirsty, wants to go take a drink. Says, I'm getting up to go drink, I'm baltaiva. I'm going to stay in bed. I'm just lazy. What should I do? I'm going to stay in bed. I'm not going to baltaiva. But maybe I'm lazy. I should get up. Or maybe it's that my taiva feeding that. Like my atzlis, this guy's going crazy. Atzlis taiva. Finally gets up, walks to the kitchen sink, pours himself a glass of water, pours it down the drain, goes back to sleep. We hold that it's b'davka, not obey your thirst. Person wants to, we're supposed to mamish, that we get mamish, Yosef was called Yosef, he got his last name, Tzadik, from one maisa. From one maisa, H.S. Potiphar, he got his last name. Yosef at Tzadik.
And, huh? It's the opposite, it was every single day, it was the same job.
Okay. But that's what he became through this act. So we become who become. You know, Mickey Mantle, they say, he's the closest player to have almost hit a ball out of. He came the closest to hitting a ball out of Yankee Stadium, Mickey Mantle. And he used to tell certain pitchers that off of you I could hit it out of the stadium. Why? Certain pitchers, because those the best pitchers. You need a good fastball to hit it out. If any physics, the faster the ball, the more you can hit it. So, like, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, create a taiva? The taiva is there for us to grow from. It's not, of course, we could tzadiki yavova, Hashem yikashlubam, but the taiva is there, it helps us. We could grow. And we're able to overcome certain stimuli that are out there, not to obey a thirst. I'm not saying it's an issue to drink Sprite. I'm not saying that. But we have to dehear that we mamish don't agree with that, and we have to know that the entire Welt, everything, all advertising is done to attack us in that way, that we're missing something. Everything is like that. Clothes are terrible. Clothes, a teenager who's looking at clothes, he can go crazy for all the things he doesn't have. Because that's also, you don't look the way you could look. And, and they say with girls it's even worse because they get into all these eating disorders. And, I could use it. Sometimes I feel like I need a shikul eating disorder. But we can't relate to it, but it happens. It happens also. Everything is obeying the a look and a fashion and a any kind. We have to be really protect ourselves. Mr. Agmi said today that he just heard that there was a fifth grader who was not acting properly in class any day. It was the biggest problem in the class, fashluffing and playing. And when they decided to do a deep dive into his matzav, this just happened. He didn't say where. That this boy had a device in his room, and he was up till all hours of the night. A fifth grader. How old is a fifth grader? 10? Seventh is 12? Yeah, a fifth grader is 10.
9.
Huh? Fifth grade, 10 years old. And the parents got involved, and they stopped all screen time of anything. They just closed everything down. And they said that this kid went, he became the mamash, the best kid in the class. The best kid. You know what it is for a kid to, you know, act as the worst kid in town. You know, after a couple of years, you act in a certain way. You just can't get traction. You just start viewing yourself in a certain way. But eventually saved his life. And that simply just from closing down his connections. The Pasuk says and told us when it said Ishmael went ahead and Asa went ahead and married Benos Ishmael. So the Pasuk says Batiena Moris Ruach L'Yitzchak L'Rivka. So I said this over at that Vod Rebbe, but so liked it. He came over and told me, great word. So I heard this from my Luban, from our Brook. Said over from our Brook. The Sifskam says over there that why did the Pasuk say, what was the Moris Ruach? Why were they so down? Because they were over the Avodah Zarah, these Benos Ishmael. They were over the Avodah Zarah. So the Sifskam says, Nira Li, why did it say Yitzchak before Rivka? Answer is because Yitzchak was more pained by it than Rivka. Why was Yitzchak more pained by Rivka? Because Rivka had access to some of Avodah Zarah when she was, you know, in growing up. You know, with her lover, Suel, was a house of Avodah Zarah. So Rav Brook said, like, Rivka, she was 3 years old when she married Yitzchak. And this is 60 years later. It's no more. 60 years later. And Rivka rejected her whole family's ideology. Rejected it. So how could you say that Rivka was not as pained as Yitzchak was? She was Navia. She wasn't pained by it. So that's what Rav Brook said, that we shouldn't think that it has no Rosh on us. We have to be honest with ourselves. Everything has a Rosh on us. So it is a very big, big hechrach for us. We want to be as, okay, we can't let it get to us, but we want to be as strong as possible. We want to protect the character of our heritage, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gamli, Chasadim. I think that's it's a very big, what do you say? It's Shovim
Tat.
Tat, oh, Truma Antetzava? Wow.
2 weeks left.
Wow, 2 weeks left. So, you know, I think it made a very, very big, very big Roshim in the high school. I could see it myself. I see myself. I mean, years ago, every single kid had a smartphone. Every single kid had a smartphone. And one kid in my shir, I've said this already, you know, and I introduced him to Mr. Agmi today. This is the kid that said it. He hugged him. This kid, I won't say his name on the recording, he said, in front of all his peers, I will not have a smartphone, my children will not have a smartphone, and my grandchildren will not have a smartphone. Moshe Barda, I couldn't help it. he said that. And he told me I could say it, and I introduced him to Mr. Agmi. And I told him, I said, you get the credit. You were here, and the initiative that the yeshiva did, he's brought in. He's not doing it for the trip to Tennessee. I don't think he cares, you know. He's Syrian, I don't care about anything. he doesn't care about the trip to Tennessee. He probably doesn't even know about the trip to Tennessee. he's doing it totally lishma, because it's the right thing. And every person should make their own cheshbon nefesh. Yeah, I wasn't here to make any pitch for any one specific act, but everybody should make their own cheshbon nefesh of what they could do to preserve and protect the midos of Klal Yisrael, Rachmanim Baishanim Gomer Chasadim. It's such a beautiful opportunity. Just in case you think that, you know, it's not nogea, just two mices that one, my chaver Max, Rashim and Cherry Hill, Rashim Max told me this mice. He was, I've said it over before, but it's just mind-boggling. He was driving Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita from New York Hasana to Philadelphia, and They stopped at a rest stop on the New Jersey Turnpike, and they pulled into a spot, and there were a bunch of women who were dressed inappropriately. And Rev Shmuel Konatsky said, this happened about 5 years ago. And Rev Shmuel Konatsky, he called me up. He said, you got to add this nicer. And he told me, and Rev Shmuel said, what does Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? You hear? Shmuel Konatsky said, what does he want from me? And he said that. Okay. And then I heard on Friday that that Rav Aaron Schechter, somebody was. Why is the Ribbono Shel Olam like sending me these? This sayonir, like I'm trying to do the right thing. What are you sending me these things right in front of my eyes? Like I came to a rest stop just to use the restroom, and this is what I have to deal with. I came from a chasana. I'm going back home. It's not like I. You know, a guy who was on the internet and then an image comes up, he can't say, what does Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? You went on the internet and you're watching it, so what do you want? But he wasn't doing anything. Like, why is Ribbono Shel Olam doing this to him? Like, that's what I think he meant. Like, he was, it affected him. And then Rav Aaron Schechter, somebody was visiting with Rav Aaron Schechter, and when they finished conversing, it was in his house. Avaron said, please do me a favor, when you leave, lock the padlock, not the bolt. Bolt me in. I said, why? He says, because my wife, she wasn't well at the end of her life. And the aide, since my wife can't be a shomer for me, the aide would constitute yichud. So if you bolt the door, I can't get out. It's not yichud. So he said, Rebbe, like, you're 85 years old. He was 85 years old at the time. You're 85 years old. So Avaron said that ain apotropos larayas, and anyone who tells you that because they're 85 years old or 90 years old or 95 years old that it's not a problem, then you know that they're a chakran. That's what Ryan Schechter said. You know that they're a chakran.
Why is that true? I can hear they're overconfident. Why bedafka they're chakran? And why bedafka the people that are saying?
Because if they say that there's not a problem, you don't have to lock the door and nothing can happen, it's not true. That's what he meant.
Rebbe doesn't mean like bedafka these people.
No. Oh. No. If someone says that there's no taiva, then he's not in reality. We just did that. So here you have the Gedol Yisrael are telling us from their own Meisim that, you know, the Lubin quotes, the Gra says that the Doris are Rishonim, that even, that the, you know, they had to deal with the Hirurim, they had to deal with it. We shouldn't think like, oh, in our generation we're, you know, such low level. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam created the mensch. So we have to give ourselves as much of a fighting chance as possible. So to whatever degree a person, any small degree of protecting ourselves is huge. It's the biggest thing. We probably give you a last name, Yosef HaTzadik, for it. Wow, and nowadays, it's the ultimate. So a person should be mechazik himself. It's the biggest thing. I was in Eretz Yisrael on one of the 12th grade trips, and I don't remember which year, but I remember where we were staying. I called it the Chorban Bayis Rishon. Is anyone here on that trip?
It wasn't our trip.
It wasn't your, yeah. I called it, that looked so bad, the Chorban Bayis Rishon. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like that. Like we went in and I called the owner, rented to us. I said, there's no toilet seat. Like, no toilet seat. And this Israeli guy comes in, he says, Mato men kisei, yesh kisei. He walks into the kitchen. He opens up one of the cabinets.
Oh, my gosh.
Ken, yesh kisei. He puts it in, slams the door. Mato men kisei, yesh kisei, shama. So there's a seat over there. If you need it, you go into the kitchen, take out the seat, and when you finish, put it back. So, anyways, on that trip. So we were davening. It was a very Haredi neighborhood. And I was outside the shtibble there, and a chassid came over and needed a phone. So I took up my phone, which was, you know, my Eli Samuel phone. I gave him the phone. So he took the phone, he looked at it, and he mamish went like this. Ah! He dropped it. It didn't break, but it could have broken. They mamish made it like it's poison. The touch it is poison.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they didn't know.
I'm sure
he didn't do it. No, he didn't throw it on the floor.
He dropped
it. Was mamish out of. Yeah, it was mamish out of like. Yeah, he wouldn't have been potter. He wouldn't have been potter. And the hezek is worse than probably, but he did it out of natural. Like, he got so petrified. He told
me, is that realistic?
One of my friends told me from an internet program, Clara, the guy like was about to his phone out, he took off his hat, so he was like showing where to gear, and he like knocked the phone in his hand.
Really?
We're proud of that.
Like, that's something we're from. In
Eretz Yisrael, see them? Nothing for us. Is that what you're trying to say, that we should be like...
You know, we don't do extreme things, but there is something to be said about making a gvul. Like, I remember when I was in high school, that some of my friends, that if you went to a movie and there was a scene you didn't, what was not appropriate, you're supposed to close your eyes. Is that a good method? Is it a good method?
It's
not necessarily the best method. The better method was you don't go to movies. So that whole thing became, you know, once people have devices, you don't go into the movies. Who goes to the movies? I don't even know if they have movie theaters anymore. So, but it sometimes it makes sense to have a very clearer. Not having a smartphone or having an Eli Samuel phone or one of the phones that you, so you can't. It's like you made a gvul. Yeah, there's no browser on it. So what are you supposed to do? There's no browser. We're much better off. And I know people take it different, degrees, take it to a different extreme. And yeah, there are some people who have still houses don't have no internet. I only respect. Someone doesn't have. I remember when I went, visit. I was sick with a cold for like 3 weeks. I was fighting it. I just went through it. I got coughed a little bit, sneezed a little bit. So I dealt with it, and then after 3 weeks dealing with it, on Shabbos I got sick. My wife was mom, so angry at me because I was sick for 3 weeks and I just ignored it. Then mom just got sick. So, but. What was I saying?
Ray went to see someone.
Huh?
Ray went to see someone.
I went to.
Houses that have no internet.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went to Baltimore and Neir Yisrael, and I heard in Baltimore and Neir Yisrael there's no internet. No one has internet there. So, I was staying at, one of the Hanhola members. They put me up in their house, and after Shabbos. I asked I don't want to say which woman, because I don't know if they would want, but some chashuva person in Israel. And I said, you know anyone, I don't want to bother my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, who are making the simcha. I said, you know anyone I can get into the yeshiva office, one of the offices? He says, I guess so. What do you need? Like a stamp? Like, what do you need? So I said, I need to print out my boarding pass. He says, do it right here. So, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law do not have internet in there, then, and they think that everyone doesn't have. I never told them. It's very hard, but you should know there are homes that don't have no internet. You can't make fun of them. You can't make fun of them because, they know they can't be omid by it, and they have to someone who's an alcoholic. Cannot have one drink. No, you can't have a sip of wine by Kiddush. No, can't even have one sip of wine. So you have to know, if someone who's being extra makbid, you have to respect that. They don't, It could be you're on a higher
you
dragon than them.
You have to assume he's a massive Baltaiba? Like, you have to have that for
you have to assume that they want to live their life, that there's nothing. But you just have to respect it. Like, there's different ways to skin the cat. Now, like, there are some people say, okay, you can't have, you know, no internet in your home. Everyone ish kafi madrigoso. Everyone has to do it kafi what they feel they could do. The yeshiva has rules. Okay, it's easy. Keep the yeshiva rules. I would say yes. Everyone, if you're in the yeshiva, keep the yeshiva rule. That's menschlich. If you're in the yeshiva, you keep the yeshiva rule. Someone called me up. They're very upset at the yeshiva because the yeshiva has this rule. If you're in elementary school, you can't go to a co-ed camp. If you're in a co-ed camp, you can't stay in yeshiva. Someone called me up. They don't think it's right. This kid just moved here, and there's a reason why. They're used to that camp, and you know it's like too hard to make so many switches, and you know they'd like to plead their case to come. I said, I don't think it's not even open for discussion. You know, I said, what are you doing? He said, you know, we tell your kid to come to the yeshiva, to have night seder till 9 o'clock, you know, 11th grade and 12th grade, and learn 3 siddurim a day till 10:30 at night. And you're going to a co-ed camp, it's just not going to shtim. At one point, there's a collision course, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be mamish a head-on collision. At some point, there's going to be a big fight between the kid and the school, or the parents in the school. They're totally not on the same page. So, you know, they have to know. I said, let them know now. This is like such a basic, so this can't coexist. So there are certain things that a person needs to know that if they don't feel they could be sovel, don't care about what everyone does. If you feel it's too much for you, you treat yourself like an alcoholic. Oh, I'm going to take myself a flip phone. Like, you know, Mr. Acme, he's the CEO of major companies. And all of his
secretaries,
buyers, everyone who he thought he would lose all of his business, respected him more, giving him more business. Just, well, that's what happened. He says the opposite happened. And you know there are women giving it up. There are women. It's not as time. It just starts being a good role model for their kids. Because if the parents have a smartphone, all the kids want to take mommy's smartphone and play a game on it. They're not doing anything terrible on it. But I definitely hear why that is going to be a problem. So listen, when everyone here is going to get married, you have to figure out. One guy told me the shotgun asked him, will he allow a TV in his house? Let's go from here. Allow a TV in his house. I said, what'd you say? He goes, no, I'm not going to have a TV in my house. But wow, you know, the girls don't know. Like, you know, with a TV, out of TV, like, you know, all those things are decisions that have to be made. What type of home will we have? Well, if you want to know what type of home we're going to have, we have to become the person whose home we want to be. We have to live in our home. So decide which home you want to have, and then prepare for that home. Maybe not in the Majega right now, but if that's the Majega you want to get to, well, why in yeshiva? It's the best time to do it. You practice, you'd be surprised. You get to that level. I was totally not going to end up, I didn't think I would end up being here. I can mention, you know, I think I graduated class of 20. I can mention 18 others who would have been more likely to be in the position I'm in, and just being yeshiva. There's so much hashpa that you have just from being yeshiva, being with, you know, hearing all the shmuzim, the learning. It's such, we don't realize how much hashpa it has on us. We take it for granted. We think, okay, it's just learning. You know, what do I get out of it? We don't realize that it's overpowering you. Mamash learning that, what is Rachmanim by Shannon Gomel Chassadim come from? You know, I guess some of it's hereditary, but just learning Hashem's Torah has a tremendous effect on us. So we have to make decisions. While we're in yeshiva, it's like you're on the train, so the train's going, so you get pulled along, Baruch Hashem, you get pulled along. But the person leaves yeshiva, whoa, the guys, I'm dealing with some of the guys, you know, you see, I live with them, they tell me, like, you know, when you're off the train, it's each person for himself, every day. Is you have to make a decision on what's okay, what's not okay, because you're not part of a chabura, so you're on your own. We had a secular studies principal here before Rabbi Levine, who told me that, you know, Rabbi, you don't realize how lucky you are. Because, you know, he was Jewish, but he wasn't religious. He says, you have no decisions to make in your life. They tell you which order of fingers should you cut. To cut your nails, they say which order to cut. He knew it was some halacha. So they tell you. So me, you know, if I could do something, whether it's ethical, not ethical, moral, immoral, I get to decide. No one tells me anything about ethics or morals. They're not bound by any Torah, not the Rices, not the Rabbanans. It's whatever I think is ethical and moral. That's what I live by. Can someone without the Torah decide what's ethical and what's moral? It's impossible. So that's why we have to listen to our Rebbeim. Each person has to speak to Rebbe. This vod was not meant to get specific as to anything specific, because, you know, yeshiva rules, yeah, that yeah. But what each person should take on for themselves, yeah, you can speak to, you know, each person. Find the Rebbe that you feel comfortable with and speak it over. What do you think I should do? And if it's hard at the beginning, if you're not ready to practice here when you're in yeshiva, test it out. Try it for a month. I don't know. Try it. There are a lot of things you could do and see that you can be solved. I can't believe the guys in my class. I have seen zero smartphones. Now, I'm not saying they don't have. A couple of them I think do own. They told me they do own a smartphone, but they're not part of the trip. They're not trying to scam anyone, but I have not seen, this is pretty impressive, especially those who have been in here. You know that you were in the high school when there were smartphones. You know, it was Kaseder. And I remember one guy telling Rabbi Brigida that he didn't have a smartphone. Rabbi Brigida told him as only he could. What do you mean you don't have a smartphone? Your pants are so tight I could read your text messages. Only he could think of that on the spot. So, Rebbe Shem, Rebbe Osai, we should, this mostly inspired by Solomon, Shem Hashem Leviyah.
When does Rebbe think Yeshua should start making policies?
Should what?
When does Rebbe think it's Kedai for Yeshua to start making policies?
Yeshua?
Policies were worthless.